I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Football Drop Podcast. This is an extra special version because for the first time ever, one of the co-hosts is missing. He has had his operation. I am almost glad to report that he is absolutely fine and not in as much pain as I was hoping that he would be. With me, though, as if our regular listeners, for the couple of you that there are left, we've got Ali Campbell with us.
Evening, everyone. Evening, as we are doing this on Monday evening. Unfortunately, like you say, he's not in as much pain as we thought he'd be. But, you know, he's on the mend, and he will be back soon, I'm sure. But he's still getting his 2 cents in this one as well. So he's sent us a list to do when we do later our top 10 centre attacking mids. So yep. We will definitely go over that, rip his list apart and do our own list. So that's fine.
Yeah.
On there, but yeah.
Exactly.
So, how you been, mate? Good?
And also...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so so he's this IT person who thinks he's like excellent. And if IT goes slightly wrong, he sits there with his chest puffed out like... Oh, well, it wouldn't have happened if it was me. But I think we've done all right. We had a couple of issues, but half an hour later, bang, we're recording.
Exactly. That's all we needed. We just needed half hour. Bearing in mind I'd only installed the software, 2 hours ago. You know, it's I think it's good. I think we're doing well, you know. So yeah.
He's going to be well happy with that. He's going to be ripping us for...
He will.
Half an hour, fucking hell. I would have done it in 30 seconds, mate.
Yeah, unfortunately, but
anyway, how are you? How was your week? How's your weekend?
Yeah, my weekend was good. Let's just say good, and I can see you've got a really really big grin on your face because you know it wasn't that good. You know what? Personally, it was great. Enjoyed myself. Went to the gym on Sunday. Albeit that was partly down to the football. But yeah, no, my weekend was good. How was yours?
Yeah, pretty chilled. Did a bit of gym. No, I didn't do any gym work this weekend, actually. I'll tell a lie. Didn't do any gym work. But yeah, it was pretty chilled. Quite nice. You know, Saturday morning watching kids play football. One of them was mine, I should add.
Yeah, just don't. We're not just put it out there. Will's not going just watching random kids playing football. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah, and then I can't really remember what I did for the rest of the weekend, but it seemed nice, gone quick. So you know, always sign. You've gone on a bit of a fitness journey yourself, haven't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, what was it back in September? I had a gastric sleeve done. Okay. I don't eat as much as I used to. Because I simply can't stomach it, because my stomach's now 20% of the size it was, which potentially is only a little bit smaller than the size of a normal person's stomach. So since then, yeah, I've had some weight drop off. I think as of today, it's like 8 stone, 8 wow. pound, I think. So, amazing. So yeah, and like I said, going to the gym. And if the football continues the way it's been going, I'm going to be ripped by the end of the season. See me in a lean, lean physique by the end of the season if it keeps going the way it is. But I really hope it doesn't, you know. But normally, Lord Edge is like, oh, you're watching football again. But now, because she knows how much football annoys me, and then I take my frustrations out in the gym, she's like, you want to watch football? Do you want to watch football? I'm like, this is not what I wanted. It's not what I wanted from this, but yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, well, yeah. Well done, mate. Thanks for sharing that. That's
all right.
Amazing. Well done.
Thanks. Yeah. But, yeah, should we get on with the news section
let's
then?
Let's get on with the news, mate. Yeah, okay. Let's get on, because I can't wait to get on to the Premier League action. Let's do the news
yeah,
first.
I bet you can't. I just need a bit of a break before that. So what's been going on lately? Obviously, it was the end of the transfer window. I think it's probably a record lowest for the Premier League in spending.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was down, but it was down by a lot from last season's January. I can't remember the exact figure, but it's going to be like hundreds of millions, isn't it?
Yeah. Like... I mean, I won't lie. Chelsea have had a good percentage of the last three transfer windows and their spending. Yeah. So bear in mind that we didn't spend anything and we were just sending players out on loan. that will definitely take it down a bit. But yeah, I think it's this whole profit and sustainability thing, isn't it? It's just killing clubs from being able to do anything, like just, you know, any sort of spending whatsoever. So, I mean, you know, even the fact that Newcastle, bearing in mind, most probably the richest club in the world, or, you know, one of the richest clubs in the world, if you take into just the amount of money their owners have, can't make a £6 million loan deal for Calvin Phillips' work, you know. Albeit, as we'll get on to, it's not worked out too well for him in the first two games of his West Ham career. But yeah, I mean, the fact that they couldn't make that work, and then obviously they were potentially looking at selling, like, well, Almiron was linked to move away. Trippier was, like, obviously, by me, were heavily... linked to try and get in. So I think this, I don't want it to be a feature, this profit and sustainability stuff coming in and stopping, because, you know, we like an exciting transfer window, but this one was just a bit like, ugh, you know. I can imagine the reporters on Sky Sports would have been like, I kind of want something to happen now, because I was listening to the radio like on deadline day and one of them was like, I've got some news, it's Armando Broja, and I'm like, great. I mean, we know he's leaving. You know what? You know. So yeah. But
what do you think about him leaving though? Because Chelsea haven't got a striker that's firing. Now, I'm not saying that he is firing, but he could be one of those. I mean, Dick Jackson doesn't score goals, and Kunku can't keep fit. So what about? Why not keep Broja?
Yeah, I mean. Start the season, I was very much like, keep hold of him, because there was interest coming over from like Italy for him and Turkey for him, and I was very much at start the season, keep hold of him, because we need a different like plan B, as it would be, sort of thing. Unfortunately for him, obviously he had his bad injury, which he came back from like last season. Obviously, no one did well last season. No one's particularly doing well this season, sort of. But you know, so, and he's just not, he can't get a run of games, and I think he needs a run of games somewhere to actually get get going again. Because, I mean, I saw him when he was on loan at Southampton, and, you know, he was ripping it up for them, like, you know, and they were even talking about signing him, like, permanently, yeah. And we said, no, we want to keep him and everything. And obviously, then he had his, and then he'd done his ACL, you know, knee injuries, which seemed to be just the curse of the Chelsea treatment room, it seems. Go anywhere near Stamford Bridge and you'll end up with a bad knee. So I see the sense of why we've sent him out on loan, try and get some games, try and see what he can do. And obviously, also, I think it's because no one was going to pay the 50 million that we wanted for him at one point. I mean, even when I saw that, I was like, I mean, he scored, what, 2 goals this season in the Premier League? Yeah. So you'll be asking a lot to try and get 50 million for him. But
he's not even got that British tax on him, has he? Like,
he's not. That's the thing. He technically has and he hasn't, because technically he's a homegrown player, because he came through our youth and he was born in England, but he obviously played his football for Albania. So he does technically have that tax of being a homegrown player on there, but yeah, obviously with him playing for a different national team, it doesn't really hold the same as others on there. But yeah, so he's gone. A few others went on loan, but, you know, it's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Just not much. I think that profit and sustainability is, and the points deduction for Everton and the charges against Forest and Everton, and, you know, the Premier League saying that they're going to take action against City this season, you know, bring those charges forward, has got teams running really scared. And that shows. And it's going to be fascinating to see what happens in January, whether there's lots and lots of movement going. But is it in January where that 3-year period is kind of reset?
I think it's the end of... I think there's a point in the end of January, and then there's also a point. It's like I'm sure there was something, someone saying that there is a point in January when it resets, but then there's also a point in the summer, the 30th of June, when again it resets. It resets. So it kind of resets every sort of 6 months to work out where you are in the profit and sustainability. I think so, because now obviously, after we didn't really sell anyone, everyone's talking about, well, Chelsea are going to be in breach of FFP because, you know, they need to sell players by the 30th of June now. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, it's same as last season, really. We had to sell players by the 30th of June, and we most probably will. We most probably get our outgoings done early, and if there are any incomings, it'll be later on in the window again. But yeah,
especially this season, with the Premier League being so open in terms of, you know, I think Burnley and Sheffield are probably going to go down, but there's still that fight between Luton and Forest at the moment, and whether, you know,
and Everton
like Palace
as well.
Get drawn into that. Everton, yeah, of course, get even more points deducted and things like that. So they're strengthening needed, but they're not really doing it. And same with the top. Arsenal, Liverpool, City, you know, all in the running for... Nobody signed anybody. It's so weird that you've got that, but that profit and sustainability is right there.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, obviously Arsenal, you were probably wanting them to sign a striker in January, something a bit extra. Yeah. But can you imagine if you've signed that striker and later on down the line, they've turned around and said... Oh no, that now we're gonna it might, obviously the thing is, it may not happen until next season when they actually do charge or anything. But can you imagine if they then turn around to Arsenal, like, you know, start of next season, like they did with Everton, like this season, like sort of early ish on, saying, oh no, we're now gonna dock you, what, 6 to 10 points? No one knows what the actual number is that they dock, because they docked Everton 10, they're now looking at docking Forest 6 and Everton another 6, and no one really knows that. The actual number. But can you imagine, like, obviously then it would be a case of like, well, why did you sign that striker? What, you know, the club saying, why did the club sign a striker if they knew they were going to be like that?
It all resets, because it's that 3-year period. Is it a rolling 3-year period, Or is it a three-year period stop and then the next three-year period? Because otherwise, in the summer, it's going to be mental. Because if it's all fine again, like, oh no, yeah, you've got the next 3 years now to balance your books. Go hammer and tong. Let's get Tony. Let's get 500 million spent. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, and I think that's what the Chelsea board will be hoping for, that it all resets. But yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think it does. I think it's very much a rolling thing. On there, so yeah, it's going to be. It might be something that's here to stay. This profit and sustainability, but the thing is, to be honest, the amount that the what is it? It's like 105 million each year, basically, that you can't go over. I mean, coming from a Chelsea fan, I will say that's a bit low. Especially if you're looking at like, you know, let's say the top clubs who are looking to sign players for 80 million, you know, 100 million, like 60 million, like those sorts of signings, it's not sustainable unless, like, potentially if Arsenal then, I don't know, whether you had to sell Martinelli or whether you had to sell, as much as it would pain you, Saliba, to get another load of players in. But that's not really strengthening the squad. That's kind of just making it the same, if not weaker, because still new players take time to bed in and everything. So, you know.
I think I was listening to something or read something somewhere that was saying about that these rules were brought in, was it like 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm.
So that bar was set when 100 odd million, just over, was a lot of money. Now, with the likes of Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, City spending over 100 million or over on players.
Let's not forget Man United spending 90 on Antony. Let's not forget that.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, can't forget that. But it's you know, that becomes then like, that's not enough. So do they need to review that before the summer? They need to go, right, Everton, Forest, you docked your points if that's what it needs to do. Man City, you stripped of all your titles and everything and you're relegated. Now we start where we're going to review it and actually we're going to increase it up to 200 million. So.
Yeah, I think because obviously what happens each year is inflation, right? So, like you're saying, 100 million back then was like a lot of money. Clubs now spend 100 million, probably, like, you know, at least, I'd say, 3, 4, maybe 5 clubs will spend 100 million on one player, or if not 100 million overall, you know, even on a couple of players. So, you know, it's I do think it's something which probably needs to be increased. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know. They might just be sort of stuck in their ways, but, you know, we'll see what happens from there.
Because the argument against it is, if you are coming up into the league, or you're sort of middle, you know, say you're a Bournemouth or a Wolves, you can't compete. So it's to level that playing field. But how much money did Nottingham Forest spend when they came up on their 600 players that they bought? How much has I can't think of the team now, Everton spent over the course of their playing as well, and they're teetering just above. That's probably poor business, but.
Yeah,
they're still spending the money when they come up. So, yeah, it's a wonder for me whether it needs to be reviewed, because these people, unless the next season coming up, they're not short of money. They're going to be able to go out and buy good players. Ipswich, maybe not. Is it Southampton who's third?
Well,
now?
You got. Well, that's the thing. You've got, it's like Leeds, Southampton, Ipswich, all in that, like, 2 to 4 places on there, and then obviously you got like the likes of Coventry and West Brom, like, lower down in the playoffs spots there. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it obviously we then looks like we're coming away from this, you know, go out and spend a load of money, because obviously everyone threw at Chelsea when Bramwich came in, they bought the league. What everyone threw at City when City came in, they bought the league. What everyone threw at United when United were spending loads of money, they bought the league. It's like they're trying to be like, okay, no one's going to buy the league anymore. But the thing is then you're actually hindering like the actual quality of the league, basically, because then clubs can't go out and spend money on these players. But then again, it could also help with like the growth of the English players at that point,
yeah,
like the academy players. So it kind of goes both ways, really. So yeah, but I did see the Nottingham Forest, even though obviously these charges, obviously they ended up going out and spending. But still, they were still spending money, but I think it was money they'd already recouped because they sold Mangala from there to, he went to Lyon for like 30 million, and they ended up buying a goalkeeper, getting Giovanni Reina on loan, I think it was, from Dortmund.
That's right.
So yeah, but also one couple more things just before we move off this topic. But did you see that Sahid Ben Rama's deal went through like I don't know, 18 hours after the window closed.
Yeah. And they were blaming West Ham, weren't they? They said that it was really disrespectful behaviour from West Ham.
It seemed like what happened with Chelsea and Hakim Ziyech when he was going to PSG, where obviously we sent the wrong form, which, you know, great. I'd have rather just got rid of Ziyech at that point anyway. But it sounded like Leon were basically saying the West Ham just didn't send anything. It's like we had everything, we had stuff, we had it all and everything. Like he was even there, he was doing his photos, he was in the training kit, he was, you know, and he's just there, just like, I want to go back, sort of thing. And it's like, well, why should he at that point? Like everything's done. Like, you know, and it's literally West Ham not sending stuff. Now, I know they were playing, like, I think, when were they playing? I think they were playing Thursday night on deadline day, but still, someone from the offices should probably still be there. Like, you know, oh, here's the paperwork you need, sort of thing. But, yeah, it seems like they just went out, we're not going to bother tonight. I'm not going to get any overtime. Sod it.
Can't be arsed, sod it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it was... That was funny that both players had to go through so late, and there was not a nice word being said about West Ham on that one.
Interesting.
And that's all FFP, similar to you were saying about Calvin Phillips.
You know.
Interesting. Just before, so last thing on this for me, and it will link up to something that I'm going to ask later on in the show. Is a manager dismissal, the compensation that's paid, is that taken out of the profit and sustainability?
Good question. I don't actually know. You'd think as a Chelsea fan I would know that, considering the amount of managers that we have sacked. But
I don't know.
It might be, you know. It might be. It's still what the club have to pay, right? So technically you'd think it would be, right? Because obviously, if a player leaves, or if a player, like, you know, mutually terminates their contract and, like, they agree to be paid a certain amount, like, pay up their contract or anything, technically that would still go into the accounts as a loss because you still had to pay that. So I would assume it does, yeah. I'm not looking forward to the follow-up question later.
Okay. You've
gotten onto what I was talking about. I've gotten onto it, mate. Don't worry.
Okay, that's good. So moving on with some of the news, just wanted to sort of touch on Jude Bellingham from Real Madrid.
Yeah.
They played Getafe, and I think he went in for a tackle with Mason Greenwood, who's playing over there on loan from Man United at the moment. And the camera panned over to Jude Bellingham, and he appeared to say a word. You couldn't hear it, but you could sort of definitely lip read that it began with an R and ended in a pissed. Maybe connected to, you know, what he was arrested for. Was it 2 years ago now?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that cameraman, he's... He's good, isn't he? He timing on that camera panning to him. I mean, I know they usually do after a player's like gone in for a tackle or something, you know, and then they see him like going back and everything, but wow. And then I saw La Liga are gonna get a lip reader in to see if he actually said it. But the thing is, I'm thinking, why do you need to know if he said it or not? Like, I would understand if it's a racist remark. You'd then need to get lip readers in to see what was actually said, so then you could go forth and fine and whatever else a player. But like, he said a word.
Yep.
I don't really know. Obviously, I know exactly what the word was. I think everyone does, but I don't know why they would need to get people in to say, did he actually say that? It's like, well, yeah, he did, but.
Exactly, and this is going to be my point. They have gone into more effort to find out if Jude Bellingham called Mason Greenwood arguably what he is because he was accused of it. I think there was I don't know, I don't want to go too much into it, but I think there was like a recording of it actually happening.
Yeah.
So the evidence was pretty much there. Yeah. I don't know, but they've
put more effort into that than they have actually stopping trying to stop racism in the country at the games, which is rife
in all countries. It's rife, but Spain especially, it's really bad there. No, hardly any effort like this has gone into that, but to protect Mason Greenwood. And I also was having a little look on Twitter because I saw Jude Bellingham was trending and I was like, oh, what's this all about? And there are lots of people hating on him, going on him, saying it's disrespectful. How can you say that about Greenwood? But I'm thinking, wow, there's lots of people standing up for Greenwood in this, which really threw me. I was thinking that there'd be lots of support for Bellingham, but there wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't literally gone up to his face and said it. Like, he's done it, and it looks like, I mean, obviously we can't tell because no one actually heard it, and obviously you're not going to hear it unless you are standing right next to him. But I don't know how close Greenwood was to him, but I don't know if Greenwood would have even heard it, or whether it's just something that he sort of said under his breath or something, but has mouthed it at the same time, sort of thing. So, you know, I mean, football players call each other all sorts on the pitch. I don't really see like why people would be like outraged, because I mean, you go to a football match, you hear some of the stuff that people, that the players say on the pitch. I mean, at times, like we know, you don't need lip readers when they're talking to the referees to see whether they agree with the decision or not, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, yeah, that's that was something that happened during during the week, I think it was, wasn't it?
During the week. Interesting one. And then finally on the news, I saw that you had Al Nassr and Inter Miami have a match together. So it was billed as Ronaldo against Messi again, like for old time's sake. And they were both injured and unable to play. Which was really funny. And the fans were going mad about it. I think Al Nassr had to refund the fans the money for it.
I mean, I saw this, was it a few weeks ago when they was in China doing their pre-season and everything, and like they announced that Ronaldo was going to be injured, and I think they actually can't, I don't know whether they cancelled the game or like you say, refunded people for him not playing or anything because he was injured. But I think they stormed the hotel that he was in and everything like that, and it's just like, good God. But yeah, I mean with them being both injured, obviously you can't help if they're both injured. Like, you know, I can't see like Arsenal refunding people if Saka's injured, or if, you know, or if, like, you know, Saka and Saliba are both, like, it's like if you went to like to an FA Cup game or even a pre-season game in general, you know what you're gonna get a mismatch of team So I don't really think they should have had to refund people. Like, yeah, okay, you come to see Ronaldo, but if you look at the, you all you used to do is look at Twitter, you see he's injured. So, so you know, and you know, I mean, and into Miami, you've got players like Suarez and Busquets and Jordi Alba still there. So, you know, I don't know whether they were playing in the game or what, but you've got a stacked, you've got kind of a good four players in that squad that ran Europe basically for a period of time. So, you know, but
yeah, no,
just because one's missing.
They had all of those players in the Inter Miami team, and they lost 6-0.
Well. Well, that's heartbreaking for him, I guess. But
it is. I mean, Messi did come on. He did come off the bench late on, but they still lost 6-0. And I think Ronaldo put out, I don't know if he put out a tweet or if he said something, but he'd said something a year ago about how the Saudi League is better than the American MSL. And now there was a bit of, told you, it's a better teams, better league, and you could probably say he's right.
I mean, you could say he's right. I mean, I think what we've all got to realise is that it's pre-season. I mean, Chelsea were unbeaten in pre-season. I'll just say that now. So, you know, pre-season means nothing in the world of football. So, I mean, the Saudi League is just, I mean, it's nice what they're trying to do for their country and everything. It's going to take time for them to actually get it done. It wasn't going to get done just because Ronaldo was there. It's going to take time for them to actually get the standard of football up and everything. So, but you know, it's what, probably, I'd say probably 5-6 in the world league, probably. Like, I'd still put leagues like Liga and possibly the Eredivisie above it at the moment.
Oh no, I think they did something recently actually about leagues where they ranked them based on quality, and it was because, so I think they did it, so like Man City beat Bayern Munich, Bayern Munich beat Juventus. Then they sort of ranked them. And I think the Saudi Pro League was way, way down. Way down. Like 17th, 18th, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll point it back to Chelsea again. You can buy all sorts of players you want, unless you've got a good system and everything else, it ain't going to work.
Shall we move on to the Premier League results from midweek?
Hi guys, please email us at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com with your comments, feedback, any funny stories you'd like us to share on the pod. We want to hear it. We love the feedback. We love the comments. We want to share it. I mean, we probably won't even remember to share it. We'll probably forget. But email us anyway, footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
So we've got Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and then we've got weekend's results, and there is a game being played tonight.
I guess we're going to have to go into it at some point. So, yeah.
Yeah, so top of my list is Nottingham Forest against Arsenal.
Yeah, I actually watched that game. And I mean, you guys look comfortable, I think, for most of the game.
It looked painful for you to say that. I'm not going to
lie. Yeah, I know. It does. It does. But yeah, you guys look comfortable for most of the game. It was only, what, that last, what, 5-minute period when they scored, and then, like, obviously Ben White and Zinchenko having their handbags moment, you know, having a go at each other. But it's because Zinchenko's a terrible defender, that's why. But yeah, I mean, still won the game, kept the pressure on the other teams up there in the top two. So Fulham, Everton, 0-0 draw. But shock result of the midweek though. Luton 4, Brighton 0.
Yeah,
who in their right mind saw that coming? I saw your and Ben's predictions, and neither of you put 4-0.
No one put 4-0 for Luton to. Nobody in their right mind would have predicted that. Against Brighton, who were playing very well, Luton tore them a new one. It was fantastic to see. I really rate Adebayo. I didn't know what to make of him at the start, but he has really come on this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like him. I mean, when we played them at Kenilworth Road at the end of last year, or it might have been just in the start of this year, and like we looked comfortable, looked fine, and all of a sudden they start putting cross in there, and he's just there, and I'm like, are we going to try and stop this guy at some point? Like, you know, it's just like, but he's just. He's very much like a, I thought, very much like a just sort of run the line sort of thing. But he's very much get in there, you know. He's quite tall, so good at heading the ball, and quite a finisher on him. So, you know.
Yeah. Rob Edwards has got him playing so well. That Ogbenna, he is top
player. Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, Ross Barkley is unbelievable this season.
This season, I do not know what's happened to him. He's playing like he was playing when he was at Everton, when everyone was, you know, after him in inverted commas, and then he ended up going to Chelsea. But yeah, he's playing like that, but he's playing a tiny bit deeper, which I think is better for him because he can, like, he's got all of the play in front of him. Like to ping a ball and like make a pass and even like make a run and get in the box. So Ross Barkley having a great season for Luton this season. And then going into the next games, we've got Palace 3, Sheffield United 2. I mean that sounds like the story of two poor defences.
Yeah.
In that game.
Exactly what it was.
You wouldn't have thought that they would have gotten 5 goals in that game, bearing in mind the form of the teams, but maybe it was just the defence was really bad. But it's probably a bit rich of me to talk about defence being really bad.
Well, I think Pat, you know, Sheffield came out quite quickly. I think that took Palace by surprise with the Brereton goal. And then I think for Palace, you have got two unbelievable players playing for them. At least they went off injured in that one, didn't he? I think it was
actually the Brighton game. He came on for like 10 minutes, 8 minutes, I think. He actually made it in the Brighton game on Saturday. Threw him on 3-0 down. He come off
he came on because he had a knock, and I think he got the knock in this game. But I could.
Oh, okay.
But if he come off or if he got the knock, but anyway, but that, I mean, Jimenez, outstanding. Was it Elise whose leg just comes out of nowhere, and what was that, Eze? I can't remember which one it was now. But his leg just came out of nowhere and he banged it in.
Yeah.
That was Eze, wasn't it?
I think it was Eze,
Two mixed up. It was Eze, yeah. But yeah, anyway, I mean, top quality players. But I mean,
destined for a big move at some point.
Elise should be at Arsenal next season, yeah.
I mean, it looks like he might be going to United, which really upsets me. I'd rather go to Arsenal at this point.
We'll come on to United. But yeah. I thought, you know, it was an entertaining game, but for almost, dare I say, championship level teams.
Yeah, unfortunately. And then the next game, Villa lost their home record to Newcastle. It was, I think, one of
a hattie, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think it was. It's the most in-form home team against one of the most out-of-form away teams. And somehow Newcastle were 3-0 up at one point. And I was like, because I think I switched on to this after your game, and I was like, how is it 3-0? What's going on here? You know, but Fabian Schär, yeah, like you say, should have had a hat-trick. I don't know what it was. Villa just couldn't get anything going, really, in that game.
Not in the first half. They came into it towards the end of the second half. Mm. You know, when we would have switched on. Watkins is in the form of his life, but just a bad day at the office for Villa, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just a bad day at the office, and I think that will show as we go more into the results and everything.
But yeah. Back to Newcastle.
Wednesday.
Next game, City Burnley. Yeah, on Wednesday. Good. Pretty much comfortable 3-1 win. Burnley's goal was good, but you know they ain't gonna stop Man City, are they?
Yeah. Good old David Datro Fofana assist. Good old Chelsea loanee doing well.
It's
nice to see. Good to see all the loan players doing well. and then moving on to Spurs, 3-2 against Brentford. Did look in a little bit of trouble at one point, being
They
rode their luck a bit. Tony still scoring, but Richarlison seems to be in the form of his life at the moment. I don't know what's happened to him recently.
Oh, they're all tappings, mate. Honestly, I don't rate the guy, and I've got an instant dislike for Mopay after the old celebration. What a twat! And then did you see you hear about all the stuff afterwards as well?
So I think
every celebration afterwards was the dart throw in that is Madison's trademark celebration. Mopay went and did that after 15 minutes, and the first goal after 15 minutes did that. And then I think Madison came back at him and said he went a bit too early. He hasn't scored enough goals to have his own celebration, which is fucking true. And then Mopay came back and said, I've got more goals and I've got less relegations than James Madison. And I thought, you know, fair play for coming back. But oh my God, what was the point? Because I know some of the England boys do that. So I know Saka's done it. Did Watkins do the Saka celebration at the weekend?
Maybe,
or something like that?
Yeah.
They all sort of do it to like take the mickey out of each other. I think Saka's done the Rashford one.
Yeah.
And they're all, but Mopay seems like he's the outsider who's come in and gone, oh, I know, I'm going to do that. And it's going to be brilliant. And they're all going to really like me. And they've all gone, you wanker.
Yeah. He's just, Neil Mopay is just one of those players, like, probably similar to Richarlison. He's not a well liked player other than if they play for your team. He's one of those players, and he's probably one of the most shithousery players that got, and he's actually, you know, a part of what one of the best ripple effects that has ever happened in football. I don't know if you've heard about that. Obviously when he injured was it Bernd Leno? When Burnley was playing for Arsenal, then Emi Martinez comes in, then Emi Martinez plays well, then Emi Martinez gets his move to Villa, then Emi Martinez plays for Argentina in the World Cup final and has an outstanding game, and Messi wins the World Cup.
Yes.
He is part of one of the most amazing ripple effects in football.
Do you know what? I didn't know that was Mopay who injured Leno. Or I might have known, but I completely forgot that it was him.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know whether he was playing for Brentford at that point, because obviously he played for Brentford before, then he went to Everton, but he didn't really do much Everton. I can't remember. I think he was playing for Brentford at that point.
He was at Brentford, he was.
Yeah, and I think a lot of your players weren't happy with him at that point, but old news now for that. But let's get into it. Come on. Next game.
You want to get into it?
Let's just do it. Quick, like a plaster. Just rip it off quickly.
Liverpool Football Club from the city of Liverpool 4, Chelsea Football Club from London 1.
Yeah, we got a goal. Well done, lads.
And Nkunku scored. That was good.
I will say one thing, or a couple of things anyway.
You're going to say more than one thing, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, definitely more than one thing. First of all, the refereeing decisions were atrocious in that game. I'm sorry, Gallagher should have had a penalty in the first 10 minutes. Referee bottled it at the cop.
Yeah, okay.
And also, Nkunku should have had a penalty when Van Dijk went through the back of him.
I'll agree with that one. Oh. I don't know about the first one. I'll agree.
But I mean, as I'm not blaming refereeing decisions for the loss, because if we'd have got anything out of that game, it would have been an absolute travesty of anything, like, in football, for us to get anything from that game. We were shocking. Liverpool were absolutely all over us the whole game. And, you know, shout out to Conor Bradley scoring his first goal, and what a good goal it was. And yeah, he terrorised us.
As did
Darwin Núñez without even hitting the target, it seemed.
Ah, he hit the post 4 times.
Yeah, that's the. I think they were saying on commentary that's the most anyone's hit the post in a single game. And I will say that my penalty technique of not watching penalties worked again for when he missed that penalty.
Yeah.
So
it could have been a whole lot worse. I mean, special shout out for Conor Bradley. He's going to give Klopp a bit of a headache, but I do hope that means that Trent can go a little bit further forward and maybe sit in the centre of midfield there, because I think that'd be really good. And second thing to say, it takes a special team to go and take points at Anfield. Also, the first one, it wasn't clear and obvious. The second one was definitely Liverpool got away with one there. What did you think of Nkunku though? Like, now he's starting to get a little bit of fitness and he's starting to play a few more games.
It looks good. He looks really good. Like, he looks sharp. Like, and even just then, like, against Liverpool, like, no space whatsoever, and he somehow just basically kicks the ball towards the goal. And, you know, Alisson wasn't expecting it, because he didn't even really dive for it. He was sort of like moving to his left. But yeah, I mean, he looks good. I really hope we can get a good run with him now. And obviously, as we're speaking now, Jackson's back as well from AFCON, which is probably another reason why they did let Brozier move on.
But we'll come on to Jackson.
No, we won't come, we'll to, come on to him. Okay.
Okay. He's in the next game, isn't he? He's in the next game.
I don't
game.
Want to talk about him. Oh, God. Yeah. Let's...
I mean, if Chelsea's going to lose to a team, then away at Anfield is all right, you know. I mean, it was quite a high-scoring game. They probably, arguably, Núñez could have made it even worse. But 4-1 at Liverpool, you know, it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Four,
it could be worse.
Conceding 4 goals against Liverpool is fine. Enough said. So moving on to
games now.
Yeah, moving on to Thursday. So West Ham 1, Bournemouth 1. Calvin Phillips having a shocker on his...
Minutes in.
I don't know. I really don't know what happened. Like, I literally thought, like, when Calvin Phillips was going there, I was thinking West Ham have got, like, and obviously he's not a bad player just because he's had 2 not so great games. Like, because I watched a bit of the United game on Sunday, because I didn't want to watch the other game. Well, I couldn't watch the other game anyway. And yeah, I thought he's played okay for Man City when he has played, like in the, what, 3 appearances that he's played. So I'm sure he'll be fine. Like, he'd be match, like, maybe not match fit, but he'll be fit and, you know, and everything else. But I don't know what happened. It's just like he didn't realise that he plays in claret now. And,
yeah,
you know, passing to the players in the lighter shirts. I don't know.
It was mad. It was his third Premier League start in 2 seasons.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was his second touch in West Ham, in a West Ham shirt. Just sent it straight to Solanke, who could only score. You know, if it was Havertz, it would probably been all right. He'd probably would have missed. But It was Solanke. That was the unfortunate thing about it.
Yeah, but James Ward-Prowse rescued him in the second half of a penalty.
West Ham were lucky. West Ham were not good.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
No, I don't think they were. No. But yeah, I mean, they got away. Well, he got away with it, really, if you think about it, in the terms of it weren't a loss, it was a draw. But and Bournemouth are, you know, they're a good team at the moment. They're not like they were at the start of the season. Like, you know, they've come up from 19th up to 12th now. So, you know, just in that sort of first half of the season, so.
Playing really well. I wasn't sure anyway, Ola, but he does seem to be.
I don't think a lot of people were in the first five, six games. Everyone was like, "Oh, Bournemouth made a right mess here. They got rid of Gary O'Neill and everything." It was Gary O'Neill was like mid table and everything, you know. But no, they seem to be doing okay now. Like, style of football's in, players are maybe understanding their roles a bit more. So they're playing good at the moment.
But then moving on to Gary O'Neill,
and the next game.
What a game!
Wow.
3-4.
Yeah.
Man United.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, United fans didn't need to have any more love for Kobbie Mainoo than they do right now. You know, in the sense that he gets the winner. I mean, it's all they hear for United fans. Kobbie Mainoo's like, shut up. Well, yeah, Jesus. He's an 18-year-old, which technically shouldn't have even really been playing, let's be honest, because your midfield's just been so bad.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That is enough to give him the confidence, though. I mean, Poyan looks really good. He looks like he's going to be something special.
Yeah.
Wolves were great, though. You know, they were 2-0 down, got it back to 2-1, then went 3-1 down, and then all of a sudden they get a couple of goals and they're right back in it, 3-3.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Second half was much better from Wolves. Like, first half, I don't think they were that good. But no, second half from Wolves was really good. And yeah, and I thought I was watching it and I was like 3-3. I was like, this is the best. This is great. Wolves are not going too much higher than us. Man United aren't getting too much further away. But, you know, and then Mainoo scores and I was like, Jesus Christ. And then, But that was the midweek results. That was over the 3 days on there. So we'll move straight on to Saturday. Spurs throwing it away last minute. You know, stuff you love to see or hear about, as you did for me on the radio.
Absolutely fantastic, wasn't it? Because I think I saw it, because I didn't get to watch it, but I think I saw it and it was 2-1. I thought, Spurs have done that, you know.
Yeah.
And then I looked again a little bit later on just to check up on like the 3 o'clock kickoffs. And I saw it was 2-0. I was like, come on.
I was going to the shops and I'd only just driven out of Folkestone and yeah, literally then it was like free kicks in, Branthwaite. It was like, okay. So I was like, well, I'm not unhappy now, you know, Spurs are losing, Spurs are drawing, so but yeah, so yeah.
It was probably the worst performance Spurs have had. But it just goes to show you, you don't really have to be very good to be beating Everton.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I did text Ben on Saturday and I said, I'm not sure if Sean Dyche is a Premier League manager, you know.
Mate, we've had this discussion. He's a Premier League manager. He's somehow, some way, probably going to keep Everton up this season with 2 points deductions.
But that's only because the teams below them are really bad, except for Luton.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, you know.
Anyway.
Brighton, 4-1 winners against Crystal Palace. They absolutely obliterated
they
them.
Did. They obliterated them, especially first half. Like, it was 3-0, and I think Palace fans were thinking, cool, can we go home now?
Yeah, they certainly did. And then they did that thing where he brought on Elise, and then they had to take him off 8 minutes later.
Yeah, he lasted injured. 8 minutes. So
they had the... In the fans were against Parrish again, like really sort of saying he needs to go. Hodgson needs to go. Hodgson's then he's kind of been deflecting it away onto the players and picking on the youngsters and things like that. And it sort of it all feels a bit uncomfortable at Palace at the minute.
Yeah. I mean, if Palace aren't careful, they will get dragged into this relegation fight because Brentford are starting to get better results now. Obviously, we say that as they're going to play Man City tonight, but they've done well against it in the last season. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Palace can really get dragged into this relegation fight if they're not careful, because with Elise out of a hamstring injury now, and that's probably one of the worst injuries you can have, especially as a winger, a quick winger as well. Trying to get away from defenders and that. So they need to be careful. I seen a lot of the stuff, and I seen them having a pop at the players, like the fans and everything. I think Anderson was having a pop at one of the and one of the fans was having a bit of a go at each other. But I mean, I will say this is probably what you get for bringing Roy Hodgson back for a full season. Like, it should have been the case of, right, you kept us up, thank you very much, moving on, sort of thing. Keep him in.
I think that it still goes back to the decision to dismiss Vieira.
Oh, yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
I still don't think it was the right call. And to bring Roy back, like you say, yeah, okay, bring him back, great, job done. Right, let's bring somebody else in who can put in their philosophy over the course of the summer and start this season afresh. But yeah, it's just not working for him.
Unfortunately, but
we can move on to Burnley Fulham. So 2-2.
I thought that Burnley were dead and buried at one point. They were 2-0 down. What was it, our half time? On there, and I was like, well, this is going to end badly for Burnley. But again, David Datro Fofana. It's the only thing I can celebrate about on this podcast. He got two goals. Get in. He seems to be like, I saw him a little bit when he was when they played Man City, and like, obviously, set up the goal. He set up their goal, and then obviously he scored two here. So he does look like a... I'm not going to say a really good player. He looks like a good player. And I mean, when he played for us, it was very much a case of that we chucked him in, I think, in a really, really difficult game that we really shouldn't have chucked him in on. And it probably didn't give people a good impression of him on there. But he got two goals, one in the very, it looks like in the very last minute of the of the game, 91. They pulled it back. But unfortunately, I think it's still not going to be enough for them, to be honest.
It's a big point. It's confidence building for them. So
yeah.
I don't think they'll get out of it, but I think they might be able to give it a really good push now. potentially against Fulham, who have been really good this season. But they're really quick out on the break, Burnley. That's one thing that they do is they counter and they attack really quickly, and that's where they succeeded against Fulham, I think. But yeah, it was a game of two halves. I quite enjoyed it for a Burnley game as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then
next,
moving on to another crazy game. I mean, madness. If we wanted goals this week, we got goals this week.
Yeah.
Newcastle 4, Luton 4. Luton scoring 8 goals in 2 games in the Premier League, I don't think has happened.
Man.
Like, even before the Premier League started, I don't know if it's happened for Luton scoring 4 goals in consecutive games. But yeah, I was listening to this on the radio as well, after listening to the Everton-Tottenham game. And the radio commentary of this was just insane, because you couldn't hear the commentary, really, because obviously Newcastle, St James' Park, is so loud, because the fans are so loud. But yeah, just what was going on in the game, obviously, what? Newcastle were 1-0 up, then it got back to 1-1, then it was 2-1, and then they got it back to 2-2, and then Luton went 4-2 up after a penalty, and again, Adebayo scoring.
Yeah,
and then Newcastle coming back with Kieran Trippier and Harvey Barnes with an equaliser. Back from his ankle injury. Yeah, first game back.
Good goal as well.
It was a good goal. Yeah, it was a nuts game. Like Luton had Newcastle when they went forward. They just went down the right hand side. Ogbeni just had Dan Burn on toast the whole game, really. Because I mean, like, I'm not being funny. Dan Burn's not going to keep up with him. So.
it's a funny one, isn't it? Because he's been so good for them over the last couple of years, but he's not who they need in that position. I think that's where they could do with some investment.
Yeah, left back. I mean, obviously they've got like Livramento in, but then obviously he's more of a right back. But you could play him left back. But yeah, I think they probably need to something they need to look at in the.
They've been linked with Tierney, haven't they, for a little while, actually?
Yeah, they have, yeah. And that might be one that works for him. I mean, I think he would probably suit Eddie Howe's system on there. So yeah.
See it working. Mm. But, yeah, that very, very good. I mean, Bruno Guimarães, I know he's not your favourite player, but I really like the way he plays football. I think he is fantastic. The outsides of the footballs in. I think he did two, actually, because they missed quite a sitter, didn't they, Newcastle?
Yeah.
But he is just outstanding. I really like him.
I will admit he's a good player. He's just not one of my favourites, unfortunately for him, if he cares at all. Bruno, if you care, you're not my favourite player.
I'm sure he's listening, and I'm sure he's going to
think of ways for me to like him some more.
Goals galore this weekend. We had another one, didn't we? Aston Villa beat Sheffield United 5-0 away from home. I think after about half an hour, Sheffield United's stadium just completely emptied.
I ain't surprised. I am not surprised. They were 4-0 up after 30 minutes. I mean, yeah, I mean, I did like some Super Six this weekend, and I put that down. I was like, Sheffield United at home, Villa are not really that good away. I thought maybe it'd be like a 1-1 or something, and then I was like, okay, I've not even managed to turn it on yet, and it's already 3-0. So
Villa had a point to prove after losing against Newcastle, yeah, didn't they? And
I think they did. That
Tielemans goal was good.
Yeah, that team. I saw that one. I was like, wow. Okay, that's worrying, because we got them midweek. So,
you were on form, didn't you? So you know.
Oh yeah, we're doing really good. Yeah, yeah, we're not conceding goals. We got them in the FA Cup in the replay at Villa Park. So that should be fun. Sheffield United. Enjoy life back in the Championship, lads. I mean,
yeah, you get your parachute payments when you go down there. It's all good. All they are hoping for now and they probably won't admit this, but they are hoping to get more than Derby and Sunderland did.
Yeah.
As the bottom two.
I mean, what are they at the moment? 10?
10.
10, yeah. So, they're, I mean, they only need one more point to equal Derby. So, yeah.
They want to get 15, 16 points. That's got to be there, right?
And I mean, and that's the thing. If you're only hoping for 15, 16 points, I mean, there's problems there then, because I remember when West Ham got relegated on 42 or something one season. Yeah. That was a mental season. So Villa, point to prove, and proved it well, lads. Well done, lads.
We have Bournemouth and Forest on Sunday. We'll just skip past that. It was a 1-1, wasn't it? Not too much going on. I think it that was the one with the red card. Billing got a red card.
Yeah, Billing got a red card and the ref got booed off.
I think it was a red card, though.
I think it was a red card. I don't really see what was the issue there with it. But yeah. And then on to the next game, we've got Man United.
Let's not race ahead. Because there was a game sandwiched nicely in between the Man United West Ham game.
It was probably one of the worst sandwiches that I'd ever experienced.
It was a Matías Cunha.
He's a good player, isn't he?
Example that he made of Chelsea. Which things started off quite bright. You went 1-0 up. What a through ball from Casado into Palmer. Great goal.
Yeah.
all went downhill from there, though, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean...
You broke your luck from the start.
Gusto was terrible in the game. De Sassi was also not good in the game. I don't think Ben Chilwell had his best game. Caicedo was giving away free kicks, and I think there was I
he
saw something that said
too many times.
Yeah. And then when he come off, he was like punching his seat or something, and I was thinking, hey, fucking don't get the ball taken off. You may even get taken off.
Awful.
Yeah, and then they just sort of ran riot, and then. Thiago Silva got a goal 4 minutes before the end, but I feel sorry for what we're doing to his legacy. We're ruining a legend of the game, it seems, with Thiago Silva.
He's one that can rally the troops up and get them performing again, but it's just not working for him. I think to credit Wolves, I think Neto ran you boys absolutely ragged.
Yeah.
He was insane. He was against Chilwell, actually, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think they were doubling up on Chilwell, and Neto was just...
Yeah, he I mean, was, Neto was just staying forward and staying out wide. Because Chilwell was obviously trying to get forward, and obviously then that's leaving Thiago Silva a bit isolated at the back, because... You know, I don't know. I mean, when one goes forward, one should drop back, but apparently not in this case. They were so much better than us. In the game,
I've never enjoyed seeing a person so dejected before.
I could take the Liverpool result, and even then, that was a struggle to take because my dad's a Liverpool fan, and I've also got someone at work who's a massive Liverpool fan, and also we've got them in the Carabao Cup, so I'm just hoping for a 1-0 loss there if that can happen. It was terrible performance from the team. Obviously, we've been on a good run before then. But these two games have sort of killed it for us. And the thing is, now everyone's like shouting about what should be done, and everything's like, what can you do at this point, really?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And you know, I think he was about to say Wolves were great. Cunha was great.
Mm-hmm.
Great goals.
Yeah.
I think for Chelsea, though, you know, you've you've bought so many players. You've got the likes of Mudryk, who, you know, Arsenal are going toe to toe with you to buy him, and you outbid us. Casado, Liverpool were going toe to toe with you, and you outbid him. Like that, Enzo Fernandez, he just won the World Cup.
We were just bidding against ourselves with Fernandez, I think.
You what, sorry?
I think we were just bidding against ourselves with Fernandez because no one was really there. It was all talk about the next transfer window, but we were like, no, we want to get him now then. So, but I understood
it. Because he just won the World Cup. Like, you understand it.
I do understand
Sanchez
it.
Sanchez in goal was great for Brighton over the last few seasons. So you understand why you bought him. You know, Sterling's been quality. Palmer, you were sort of thinking, I don't really understand that. He's been great. But and Nkunku, you know, you've got all these players.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I think the problem is there's a lack of leadership in the team, and that is the club's fault for going out and buying these 20, you know, under 23, shall we say.
But you've got Thiago Silva.
I will say though, Sterling was awful. In that Wolves game, I don't really know what's happened to him over the last sort of three games or something, but I think there is a bit of tactical immaturity in there as well, especially in the Liverpool game. You know, going back, and I hate going back to the days of when we had like the likes of John Terry, Frank Lampard, Didier Drogba, and all those, but they would, in a game, see, right, this is not working. I'm going to stop doing that now because that's not working. And I'm going to do this, like, you know, I will change it myself in-game sort of thing. Even if the manager hasn't told them to, they will be like, right, I can see that's not working. And they may even tell someone else, right, no, you stay on him because he's getting free sort of thing. And there's just not that at the moment. And I very much backed Pochettino since the start of the season. Even when we went on that bad run at the start of the season, I was very much like, what are we even talking about? Like, when there were people talking about get rid of him and all that sort of thing. However, that Wolves game, I'm not going to say it's pushed me over the edge to me saying get him out. But if this continues, I might be pushed that way.
It was trending on Twitter over the weekend.
Yeah.
Watch out.
But I just can't. I don't see who you get in. Because you go and get Jose. Jose don't work well with young players. I don't see Jose working. Hansi Flick is one that's been mentioned. What, the guy that got sacked from Germany because they didn't make, or they didn't qualify for a, what was it?
They didn't win a game, did they?
Yeah, they didn't win a game. Yeah. So, you know, Hansi Flick, who was sacked by Germany and one of Germany's worst managers. Yeah, he did all right at Bayern Munich, but that's Bayern Munich. That's not exactly who does it. Well, Thomas Tuchel, maybe. I don't see there being anyone else better to take over at the moment. So I'm still in the case of Potts to the end of the season, see where the season ends. See what happens at the end of the season. If we met, like, top half is probably the only thing we're looking at this season, is top half. It's unlikely that we'll get Europe because of the clubs in front of us, albeit if somehow we did win the Carabao Cup, we would get a European place. We do need to try and get back in Europe, but this season I think it's a case of Potts to the end of the season, and yeah, see what happens after that. See if there is then someone available that the owners want. But it's not, and what people got to understand, this is not the Chelsea of old. This is not Roman Abramovich. This is a totally new era. The club's been changed from top to bottom. The only person I think that's still there when Abramovich is there are probably two people. There's Ben Chilwell and Reece James. They're probably the only two that are there still from that era. So, you know,
it's something
that I think a lot of Chelsea fans, and I hate Chelsea fans, other Chelsea fans, I really do, because they're just whiny, moany. Yeah, I won't go too much into that because I'll get on. Yeah, it's just, I think we've just got to sit. We've now got to sit there and take our medicine for what we've done in regards to the transfer market. Just got to sit there and take our medicine. Like, I watched Arsenal take your medicine for, you know, how many years, finishing, you know, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, you know, finishing in those, you know, outside of the Champions League and sometimes, you know, outside of Europe. I've watched it happen with, obviously, Liverpool. I've watched it happen with even United, like, finishing, in terms of finishing outside of the Champions League on there. And even Spurs last season, obviously, they didn't qualify for Europe either. So I think we've got to sit back, take our medicine, and I think until the owners actually decide to bring in some, established leaders into the team, unfortunately this will kind of continue this way in these very up and down performances at the moment. So
yeah, I do agree. Yeah. I think leave Potter, I don't think you can afford to get rid of him. I think that as we've found out, that does impact on the FFP stuff.
I mean, he did only sign a 2-year deal, so.
But from an Arsenal fan who went through this, as you said, you can almost see what Chelsea are trying to do. You can almost see with the players that they've got what they're going to do, what they need to do.
Yeah.
And where they can get to. Just a couple more players. I think, you know, you've got to replace Thiago Silva. I think you've got, you can get a few players defensively who are better, but I think you're on the right tracks, and I think actually Poch could be the man to do it.
I do, to be fair. I think this is just a young team that will have this up and down performances, and it's just obvious that they will on there. So, you know. But anyway, moving on from my pain and personal hell this weekend. Man United, yeah. West Ham. 3-0 win for United.
Yeah. Good game, Matt. Hoyland was superb. I think the youngsters that they had at the top with Garnacho.
Garnacho as well, yeah.
Yeah, they were superb.
Yeah, again, this is a game where I did switch on and got a glimpse of Calvin Phillips again in a West Ham shirt, and I saw him get the ball nicked off him by Scott McTominay, and he sort of fell to the floor and then didn't run back. And I was a bit like, why are you not running back? You've lost the ball there. You should be the one sprinting back. And he just wasn't. And I was a bit like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening there, but he's having a tough time of it, but I'm sure he'll turn it around. Like, you know, he's a good player. And he will turn it around, and hopefully he's in good form, because he is going to go to the Euros. We all know that, whether he's playing or not. So
it's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible that is a sad fact. But he will be going. I think Bruno Fernandes is one of those blokes. He only sings when he's winning, because he was really good in this game. I thought I saw a different side to Fernandes than what I might have seen throughout the course of this season so far. But they seem to play really well. But I don't know if that's just because West Ham were really poor. But then United seemed up for it, you know, with Bowen taking that ball down, and I think he should have shot a little bit earlier. But Diallo, you know, busting the guy to get back, similar to what Calvin Phillips didn't do.
Yeah,
they seem to be doing all right.
Yeah, they do. Which again, it's painful for me to say, to see United, who we were a point away from a couple of weeks ago, or at least the week last weekend, and now we're what, 5 points away from 6 points or something. So seven.
Seven.
Yeah. So yeah, but you know, it's it's just one of those, unfortunately. But yeah, right.
Let's move on to the greatest game that there has been since the last greatest game that there was. Arsenal 3, Liverpool 1. Now, there was a couple of defensive cock-ups with this one.
I think by both at one point, weren't there?
That being said, it was an entertaining game. Yeah. I thought Arsenal could have won by more. Liverpool were not on it at all.
No.
I think it was a red card. I think they got lucky with their goal. We got lucky with both of our goals, actually. I think Trossard's one was quite fortunate to slip through the legs of Alisson. But
he just got done, didn't he? So
yeah,
just got done. I know, it was a really good performance by Arsenal. I didn't see that coming whatsoever. I thought Liverpool would win that, even though it was at the Emirates. But yeah, they just had no, like, there was none of the like pressing from Liverpool to Arsenal. It was like they thought, right, if we sit back a bit, maybe we can catch. But then obviously you start playing balls over the top, and I think actually, and I don't think Ben would like me saying this or anything, but Jorginho, I thought, had a really good game.
Ben midfield. Actually said earlier that he thought that Jorginho was the best player on the pitch.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So there's a turn up for the books.
That's a turn up for the books. Yeah. I mean,
Price was good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really really good performance by Arsenal, and keeps you in the title race. Because I did think if you do lose that game, you are probably out of it. Like being 8 points back, you'd be wanting Liverpool to lose another three games, which.
They've only lost two this season.
Liverpool, one of them they shouldn't have lost.
Probably shouldn't have lost, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a good performance from you guys. Obviously, Gabriel scored an own goal, which is unfortunate for him, but Saka, Martinelli and Trossard, massive mix-up by Van Dijk and Alisson. Massive mix-up. Yeah. I was in, like I said, this is one of the games when I was in the gym. I was watching my phone and I just heard, like, I was on the treadmill and, like, I was sort of looking up, and I just heard Peter Drury go, "Oh, what's happened there?" And then I looked down and Martinelli's just running, like, just boot, kicked the ball in the back of it. And I was like, "What actually happened there?" I wasn't even looking at the screen. What happened?
Well, Alisson kicked Van Dijk, didn't he?
Yeah.
He kicked Van Dijk and. That's when all the trouble occurred.
I just saw Van Dijk get pushed by Gabriel Martinelli, which I didn't think would be something I would say at any point this century. And it was a fair push. It was just a shoulder barge, and he got him. Yeah, I mean, you know. But great performance from you guys. What are you now? 2 points off top now.
2 points off the top, yeah. City have got a couple of games in hand. They're playing in a minute, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with those. But yeah, overall, a good few days for Arsenal. 3 wins in a row now. See if we can continue that. Hopefully that blips over and we don't get another one. But that's been a great episode. Thank you very much for joining. And
we're doing the top tens, centre attacking mids. Quickly?
Yeah, we are, aren't we? Yeah.
Let's run through that,
yeah.
Ben did send us a list through of his, so I'll run through Ben's list and we can kind of pick and choose between that on there.
Yeah, we'll just disregard everything that he says.
Yeah, so Ben's got Foden number one. Oh, no, I'll start off the bottom.
Is his in order? I couldn't quite work out whether he's got this is like he's in.
I think he has got this in order. I think he has got this in order. But
so he's picked Foden as number one.
Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I think he's had a bit of a shocker, if I'm honest. But we'll go with it. He's got Ross Barkley in there as a centre attacking mid. Now I would say he's playing a bit deeper. For Luton, if
yeah,
I'm
he's
honest.
A number eight.
And number 8/6, like depending on what they're playing. So Ben, that's one off already. Cool, right? then we've got Pereira for Fulham, which he does play as a centre attacking mid.
Is this Okay, you're going from 10.
Yeah, I'm going for 10. Yeah, I'll go 10 upwards. Yeah.
Number two. I was like, what?
Oh no, God,
okay,
no.
Right, yep.
Yeah, sorry, no. Yeah, so Pereira, Andreas Pereira at number 9. Then you've got Bruno Fernandes, number 8. Okay. Then you've got Decore, 7.
Decore at 7, okay.
Above Fernandes, I'm not really sure about that. Eze, 6. Gibbs White, 5. Madison, 4. Palmer, 3. Ødegaard, 2. And Foden, 1. On there.
Right, okay.
Not sure I agree with the Ross Barkley, if I'm honest.
No, let's scrap that.
So we'll scrap him out already. Do you want me to write these down or?
Yeah, go currently? For it.
Okay, I will write them down. I've got a keyboard. There we go. Okay. Right. So. Just move it on the right screen, that'd be good. Excellent, there we go. Right. Cams, because that's what they are. Okay, so who do you think's number one this season? Premier League.
Number one.
I mean, it's probably going to be one of the names that Ben's mentioned in there, right? Because I can't think that he's got that lack of ball knowledge that he hasn't picked someone who should be number one.
Really good question. Who is number one? I don't think it's Foden.
You don't think it's Foden? Okay.
I don't think it's Foden. No, not as quite what is essentially a number 10. Because I think Palmer's had a better season than Foden.
Hmm. In that number 10 role, probably, yeah. So.
Because Foden's normally out wide, isn't he?
It normally is, but I think we all know his position's like a. He is a cam. It's just he's being played out there at the moment. On there, so. So yeah, I'm happy with putting Palmer as number one, like this season as the number 10. I would probably go with Palmer, but obviously there is a bit of bias for me in there.
I just think that he come from nowhere and was shit hot.
Yeah.
I think you could argue that Ødegaard could be in there because he's up there. He's been quality for Arsenal. He's a captain, leader, you know, taking us to where we need to go. So I wonder if he's in with a shout.
Yeah, I think so. I think I don't think he's had as good a season as he has done before, but like maybe he didn't start off that well, but he has kind of come back into it a bit more now this season, I think. So
who would be Liverpool's?
I mean, they don't really have a number 10, do they? They generally play with a 6 and 2 8s, like. I mean, you can argue that Cody Gakpo's kind of played a centre mid, like attacking mid role. Then you've got players like Gravenberch as well on there. So I don't really think you can say that he's that they've really got a number 10, to be honest. And then obviously, if you look at the other teams, obviously you've got Bruno Fernandes, Eze. Obviously, Madison and Gibbs White as well on there. And again, Newcastle, they don't really play with a number 10 either. They kind of play with a. But, I mean, someone who I put in there, especially after yesterday's performance, would be Cunha. He'd definitely be in the top 10, I think.
Because
think he is more of a like an if not a number 10, he's very much a false 9 on there, definitely. Like, he's definitely not a striker, but he's, well, could have been, let's say.
I would agree with that. I think let's put him in the top 10 somewhere. Who have you got? Villa don't really have a 10, do they?
John McGinn kind of plays a bit further forward, but I think we had him in the centre mid.
We had him in the centre mid, yeah.
So you can, he's really a midfielder, but he has been playing a little bit more attacking this season. On there, and then
So let's go Palmer, Erdegaard, Foden. Mm-hmm.
Foden.
Or do we put Foden above Erdegaard? I don't know what to make of Foden as a number 10 this season. Because I feel like he's been playing more out wide.
Yeah, I mean, I think this season I would probably go. I would probably go Foden above Erdegaard because I think Erdegaard had a slow start, but I mean he has been very good. So I mean I think definitely top three.
I'll go with that then.
We'll go with that.
Foden, Erdegaard.
Number four, so we've got players like you've got Maddison, you've got Fernandes, you've got Eze, Gibbs White.
I think had Maddison not got injured, I think we'd definitely be putting him in there. But I think because he has been out, do we go for somebody who hasn't? So
yeah,
Eze.
Yeah, he could go Eze. I mean, I think Gibbs White's been really good this season as well. Even though Nottingham Forest have not been that great, he has been quite good.
He's the standout
this season, yeah. I think Eze then Gibbs White is probably a good shout if you agree with that.
Yeah.
Or are we looking at Bruno Fernandes to be a bit higher?
I think Bruno Fernandes, for me personally, he lets himself down when he drops, so he doesn't.
Yeah, I agree.
He doesn't do what people need him to do. So.
No, yeah, I agree. I just wanted to make sure he was on the same page as me. That's fine.
So, we've got Eze.
Then we've got Gibbs White fifth.
Gibbs White. Yeah. Okay.
I think probably Bruno Fernandes should probably go in there at number six because as you say he lets himself down when United don't play well. He doesn't really.
But he is a quality player.
He's a quality player. Yeah, he just needs to stop stropping. When your team's not playing. Like, I mean, the time that I see him when he was stropping that much was against Liverpool when they lost 7-0. And he's like shouting at gesturing to Ten Hag. He's like trying to push the linesman out of the way, and it's like Jesus, calm, bug down, sort of thing. So number seven. I mean, the one I'm probably looking to put in number seven is probably someone like James Maddison, he was obviously he got injured in that Chelsea game, but he has been very good this season, and he's come back and he has looked really good again. On there spraying balls around, and I saw him a few shots against Everton as well, which Pickford had to make some good saves for. And then number eight. So from Ben's list, we've got Decore, Pereira, and Ross Barkley that we haven't used on there now. I don't think Pereira's been amazing, but he is a number 10. I think Decore has been someone who's kind of dragged Everton forward a bit.
Decore has been good.
So we're looking at like 8, 9, and 10 now in the list. I'm just looking to see if there's anyone else that kind of jumps out.
Did we have Guimaraes in central midfield?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had him as centre mid. Yeah. Did we have Kudus as a winger?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Unfortunately.
What about Paqueta?
That's exactly what I was about to say. Obviously he's injured at the moment, but this season I think he has been really good. So
he's not. We didn't put him down as a winger, did we?
No, we didn't. No.
And did we had Bowen as a striker, didn't we? We didn't save him for a number 10.
No, we actually put Bowen in the wingers.
Oh, in the wingers. Okay.
Yeah, we put Bowen in the wingers.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we won. Yeah, no, I remember that now. So
what
have we got left? 9 and 10.
Yeah, we've got 9 and 10 left. So I think Decore should probably go in there.
Yeah, agreed.
For this season, he's been he has been good for Everton going forward,
what about,
especially.
What'd you call Billing?
He's a strange one. I would say he's probably more of an 8 than a 10. But obviously in this new kind of system that he plays, that they've been playing with the manager, he does go forward a little bit more. But I don't know if I call him an attacking midfielder.
No.
But the problem is we are running out of names. For attacking midfielders. I mean, the only two from Benzies we've got are Pereira for Fulham and Ross Barkley.
Barkley's a no, I think. But maybe Pereira, because he has had the start of the season. Fulham were smashing it. When they played us, they were great. That was only last month.
He did play well then. I'm just having a look, just seeing if there's anyone else. But I mean, the thing is, a lot of teams now, or more teams now in the Premier League, because it used to be everyone played for either 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, but now people are playing they're playing the three at the back, and then that leaves two in midfield, and then obviously no real sort of number 10. I'm happy to go with Pereira.
Where did we put Bernardo Silva? Did we put him as a winger?
No, I think we did. We actually put him as a centre midfielder because he's been playing alongside Rodri this season. I think we put him as a centre midfielder. I mean, Bernardo Silva could literally probably go in every single list.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
As a midfielder, he could go as a winger. He could go as a centre midfielder. He could go as an attack midfielder. He's insane.
I think last season we'd have had McAllister as that, but he's been playing more as an 8, hasn't he?
That's been one that probably would have been there. And also for Brighton last season, obviously he's been injured, and Ciso. He was really good last season, and obviously he had that bad injury. I think it was in pre-season, or it might have been at the end of last season, and he just obviously hasn't come back yet from that.
We didn't put Cunha in.
We didn't. He's going in this list, though. Right. But where's he going? Because he's not going number 10. Not after yesterday. I can't put him 10. In good faith, I cannot put him in 10.
who have we got in 9? So maybe he just sits above Decore.
Yeah, we've got Decore at 9. And then Paqueta's at 8. Madison's 7.
Oh, I'm under Madison.
Under Madison, you reckon, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. We've got our top 10.
Excellent. Well, I think that, as I say, I think that's pretty good. Obviously, I think Ben had a little bit of a shocker with putting Ross Barkley as a cam. But yeah, well remembered, because I didn't remember that at all. Obviously, I tried to forget him, to be honest, after yesterday. So, but yeah, there we go. So we've got 10. So I'll just run through them. So Decore is 10, Paqueta's 9, Cunha 8, Madison 7. Bruno Fernandes 6th, Gibbs White 5, Eze 4, Odegaard 3, Foden 2, and Cole Palmer as number 1 up there. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Great job.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. I will say it again. Thanks very much for coming on. Your time.
No worries, mate.
I tried to end it earlier, but well corrected.
Yeah, no, I'd say if we didn't do that, we know we'd get some shit from Ben if we forgot that. So. Yeah.
He's going to be annoyed, actually, that on the one that he's not here, we've done an hour and 35. He's going to be like, what?
It's because we like to talk when, he's not here.
Exactly, yeah, we could talk about him. But no, thank you very much, and
yeah.
I'll catch you next week.
Cool. All right, mate. In a bit.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Only football can make you feel like